Father, we thank you that you're here in our midst this afternoon. You're here, Lord, in your great purpose of Christ, the mystery of God revealed, bringing a revelation, bringing yourself preeminence, and bringing us back to Eden. And we're very grateful for this. We just praise you for it. Cannot thank you enough, Lord, and here we stand just as we are without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for us. We do not come, Lord, with any pretense or any cover-up. We do not come, Lord, with any presentation, because we have none. We believe that which was necessary to be presented has been presented, and we stand in that which has been presented, the Christ who died for us, shed his blood, now bound back by the Holy Spirit, Lord, showing your approbation. We know that we're only here, and you're here because of your approbation, your way that you made, having interposed yourself for us. And we accept that this morning, Lord, as it has been so clearly stated, grace is God plus nothing. And certainly, Lord, that is where we are, for nothing in our hands we bring simply to the cross we cling today. We look, Lord, because of your great mercy in all things being possible, that you reveal yourself by your word today, that we may know him who alone is righteousness, him who alone is eternal life, and our glory might be in him. We're satisfied with that, and we praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Certainly nice to be with you this afternoon, and, you know, in these services that we sort of take our time, and not just sort of take our time, that's an understatement. We do take our time, and all the time we want, it's Brother Branham, to me, the message is refreshing, and I like to, to sort of linger over it, like Brother Branham did when he talked about going to the Farron, and he had a nickel or something, he'd buy a hamburger with onions on it, and he would, you know, at the end, lick his fingers. Even the licking felt good. It tasted good. Then he told how that his father would give him a piece of candy the odd time, and he'd lick it and wrap it up and put it away. Well, you know, that's what I feel about these messages now. That's why I take my time. Now, many people think other than that, but the truth of the matter is, you can't hurry through a good meal. You can't do it. First of all, you gotta look at, like the Bible said, the tree was good to look at. And I think the word is beautiful to look at. It's fantastic, especially since it's been revealed. And then it's good deed. And it certainly is good deed. And it's the kind of food that immortalizes you. See, Israel had a sort of immortalization when they ate the manna. Their clothes never wore out, and they didn't even get B.O. And tell you what, this word takes away the denominational B.O. And I'm happy that we don't smell spiritually like goats. Not saying too much for the sheep of time, but this is true. We're going pretty quickly back to where we came from. See, so kind of feel like the Bible said about the householder, he bringeth forth treasures both old and new. And that's what we do with these messages. We try to take our time so that it's not boring to you, and you don't get saying, well, hey, I wish he would, come right to the point, and we have these big Roman candle flashes he talks about. That's Pentecostal. That's not this message. You're in the wrong place if you want those big flashes. And you want that sudden great fruit. Look, what it is precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. The great precepts have come forth through the prophet. Now it's the teaching ministry to the point where everything is coming together. And we're going to take our time in the things that we're looking at from this point on. I'm not hurried, because there's nobody over me but God. And you might not believe this, but he is big enough to shut my mouth. I tell you, frankly, I don't think God just opens people's mouths. I think he can shut them. And goody. That's all right. I like that myself. All right. We're talking about why he is present. And we're talking today about the judge. And this will be a slow-moving message. Every point will be carefully viewed in the light of what we'll bring next Sunday. In the meantime, we'll review it Tuesday. And if you stay home because you think that I repeat myself, you're wrong. I do repeat myself, but you'd never recognize it when I revise my notes. Last Wednesday, I don't want to call it Tuesday. Maybe we ought to go to Tuesday night meeting. I don't know. It wouldn't bother me any. We changed the afternoon. The last Wednesday, this is the first time, maybe ever, that so many people came to me and said they could follow me right through the message. I particularly like what Brother Lloyd said, and I watch him very carefully because we're pretty close in this together when it comes to just certain things that we look at in the Word here. And he said, I sat there for 50 minutes, and I said, wow. He said, I understood everything in the first 50 minutes. He said, this is fantastic. Now he said, I wonder if it'll keep on. Well, I think it kept on, didn't it, Lloyd? See, it's coming together. It comes together only because you must gaze at it and behold it. Behold is not looking at firecrackers and spectacular. Beholding is to literally look at. Now, don't ever forget what I'm saying, because here is where people miss it. There is only one thing that will change you. Nothing else will get you ready for immortality outside of looking at Him who is the Word. You're gazing at Him and your knowledge of Him. And remember, this knowledge has an effect upon us. And that effect is to transfigure us. This is why I fly the coop when people try to stop me. There's nothing there to be transfigured. Now, you say, Brother Vail, you're mean. I am not mean. I want you to get this at one time in your lives, if never again. I am telling you God's truth as I know it, from the Word, from the prophet, from my heart, from my leadings, everything to God.
Praise the Lord.
You will get nowhere unless you gaze at Him who is that one revealed in this Word, and He will change you by your looking. Because it is that knowledge that has the effect. Now, if you don't want an effect. Now, you say, Brother Vail, there's not one here that doesn't really believe that. Ha ha. But Satan may want you to forget it and to make a slip. See? Ephraim could not stand still for the firstborn, which is the first resurrection. That's America. Yet they'll circumnavigate the globe to make one convert who's twice-fold a child of hell than they.
Amen.
Now that's serious. Wrong spirit, wrong word, wrong Jesus. If we have a vindicated prophet, we have the right Jesus, the right spirit, the right word.
Amen.
Now if that's not sufficient to make you a virgin and get you there, forget it. Why he is present? This is the study of the judge, or the beginning of the study of the judge. And we go to Revelation chapter 1, 12 to 18, where the prophet took it. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, in the midst of seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with the garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hair were white like wool, he's white as snow, his eyes a flame of fire, his feet like unto fine brass, as if he had been burned in the furnace. And his voice is the sound of many waters, and he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. His countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. You know, we've still got that experience, that revelation, where you will see him in the awesomeness that you have never had before. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not. I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. All right. We're going to read in the Revelation of Jesus Christ. And evidently I begin at page, paragraph 165 and page 102. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. In the midst of seven golden candlesticks, one like the Son of Man. My, did you notice stars, candlesticks, lamps? What does it mean? What does this mean? That the dispensation that we're living in is nighttime, and candles and lights and stars mean night. But what does a star do? It reflects the light of the sun until the sun returns. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And a true minister of God doesn't reflect some flashlight, some matchstand, some shucka burning. He reflects the golden rays of Christ to the church. What would a prophet do? He's the same, and he's alive, and he shines on me. Amen. That's the light he reflects. The star reflects the light of the sun, see? So we're reflecting the light of the Son of God. Doing the same thing he did, giving light. What kind of light? Gospel light to those. Now watch him just a little further as we take the rest of verse 13. The midst, that's the middle, of the golden candlesticks, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down the foot, girded about the paps of golden girdle. Now here's more proof that this doctrine is right about being the Lord's day. Did you notice him? He was not a priest during this time, neither was he king, he was judge. Notice a priest, the high priest went to the sanctuary, went into minister to service, he tied himself around the waist. Tying his girdle around the waist meant that he was serving. Never tied it over his shoulder. But here he comes out walking with the girdle tied around the top, with a sash over his shoulder, girded about the paps, the breast with a golden girdle girded up high. What is it? An attorney, a judge. The judge with his sash over his shoulder, girded up here, and he points his shoulder, not down as a priest. That's the waist. See, that shows he wasn't in the priesthood now. John went all the way over into the Lord's day and saw him coming as a judge. You believe he's a judge? Let's read John 5:22 right quick. We'll see whether he's judge or not. For the Father judges no man, but has committed all judgment unto the Son. That's right. He is the judge, the supreme judge. And John shows that he wasn't, in the day of his prophecy as a prophet. Neither was he plumb out into the days of his kingship, but he was in the day of the Lord as a judge. Now notice there's a progression. Prophet, judge, king. See? Now you say prophet, priest, king. I'm not arguing that. But it's also prophet, priest, he's also prophet, king, judge, king. Now you see, your turning's already started to turn around. Now how many knew that before? How many she's had? How many liars are? I didn't know it myself this year now. Because I hadn't read this thoroughly. Prophet, priest, king, sure. Prophet, judge, king. But where does the judge come in? You were talking about Israel. Prophet, priest, king. Lineage. We're talking about Gentiles. Prophet, judge, king. Isn't that serious for us, see? Now, you'll recall that we're here Wednesday night and from Sunday. You'll recall we were talking of these things where they come in, especially Wednesday. And now here's something we want to do from now on. As soon as there's a tape made, let's get it ready for Toledo and send it up, take Brother Mal's address and get it to Brother Mal right away so they can hear and have the bridges when they get back for Sunday. All right. How many knows that the priest having his girdle, his string around his waistline meant he was in service? Anyone who reads the Testament, that knows the Old Testament, knows that. When a priest is girded around here, that's the way, he's in service, he's a servant, but he was girded up here, shoulders, a judge. All right? Read a little further. A golden girdle was about to pass. That's right. Up here, he was a judge. Let's see if I read far enough. No, I'm going to just have to keep on reading. Now we're going to read the sevenfold mystery of his person. Oh my, that makes me shout before I get to it. Notice this. It is just wonderful. Well, I'm not going to read any further than that because this will do us in the book. I got a lot more to read in the unveiling of the mighty God. All right. There is no doubt about it that this one in Revelation 1, even though you can't comprehend it, even though your thoughts are whirling to the white throne, stop it. Settle down. Get rid of every thought. This is the toughest part of not having been a good old atheist, a dumb dodo of a nothingness, not having gone to church, a Roman Catholic who doesn't even go to church or hasn't from a kid. They beat us hands down. They can listen to this guy because he had nothing before. Empty bottles can get a whole lot more poured in than bottles that have rocks in them. It's tough to get them rocks out. Rascals don't float. Yeah, I could take Brother Branham, not me, could take 1,000 undedicated, raw Roman Catholics, see them turn to Christ, and produce a pure theology. Whew, you and I have problems. Methodist, Baptist, Pentecostal. Oh, brother. Judge. Now, for 2 weeks, we've been stressing he's a prophet. Now, how do we reconcile prophet and judge? The unveiling of the mighty God. Starting with page 6. And we take our time. Because that's what we have is time. The Toledo folks said they didn't need to get home till 8. They didn't say whether that was evening or morning. And I don't know what they meant. Even what day. Now, my subject this morning is to reveal or unveil that God. God has always, in every age, hidden behind a veil, all ages, but he's been God all the time. See? Let your minds go. Veil. Mask. He's hidden behind something. All ages. Hidden behind this, hidden behind that, hidden behind over here. He means the same one? Yep, same God. You got your minds at rest? You get that? We only got maybe one good old Roman Catholic here, Joe. That right? Only go to one Roman Catholic, knew nothing too much. He's the smart guy amongst the whole bunch of us now. If he can let his mind go, you and I got trouble. Willie's an old Methodist. Too bad, Willie, Methodists don't count. They had today. Your Baptist went down the drain. Russell, too bad. Same God. You see why he said that? Because people got along to three gods. See, just about everybody took a three God. But those that weren't serious with religion don't have much trouble. It's those that were serious that have the trouble. See, but he's kept himself hid from the world and reveals himself to the elected like the apostles of that day. Now, right here, if you're elected, you're not going to miss this. Now, I don't care what your background is, therefore, or what your learning is or anything else. You will come to the place where I came years ago that Brother Branham was not speaking in my understanding of theology. He had his own theology. And I had to change mine. And I see what he says. I'm looking at the same God he looked at. The elect will receive the revelation. That's what he tells. Now, that was God speaking in Christ. That was God speaking in Christ. Now man has always, it's been the nature of man, he sought to see physically that God. He always wanted to see it. Man has made creatures that look like him. They think of, the Indians worship the sun. And we find in Africa different forms of animals and so forth. And up to the totem poles in Alaska, and different forms that they think this God is in. Now notice, they think this God is in to the extent where they form an image, and then God comes into that image. He doesn't. But that's their theory. As Paul spoke there at Athens that time on Mars Hill and told them they were superstitious concerning this unknown God, that they knowed he was there, but yet they didn't know him. See, they knew something was there, but they couldn't really tell you. You know something? The minute that you really know something, you know what happens? You're identified with that. Did you catch what I said? Amen. And why don't you start running and screaming? They didn't. They never knew. They guessed. They were not identified. They wanted to be. True knowledge identifies. Now, how much more are you identified with God this minute I spoke those words than you were a minute ago? Just let yourselves go. That's what we're here about. Let yourselves go. Look, be at rest in peace. I'm not going to bother anybody. You are not going to bother God. God is not going to bother you, and the devil doesn't count. I just told him this morning to stop bugging me. Because after God gives him a trillion years of punishment for what he's done, he'll turn to us in the throne and what do you say? And I'll say, well, just how about a trillion more years for my benefit? So he doesn't count. You know something? How could he count today in the mind when the mind is already sealed up by the Holy Spirit, the revealed Word? No. It's too late. I don't care what he does. There's nothing can stop him from me telling you that by knowledge you identify. All right? And so we find even back as far as Job. Job knew there was a God. He knew it. And there's not a human being in his right mind but knows there's got to be something somewhere. And now Job wanted to talk to him. And I want you to notice the form that God chose to talk to Job in. God was veiled when he talked to Job. He was veiled in a whirlwind. Came down in a whirlwind. You believe that God still comes in a whirlwind to unveil himself? Now let your mind go on that one. Well, let me see now. Whirlwind. Why whirlwind? Why not a whirlwind? That makes you think then, okay, let's go a little further. Notice Jehovah of the Old Testament is Jesus of the New Testament. See, he's the same God just changing his form. Whirlwind to a man. Now, someone said the other day, a Baptist minister out in Tucson, how can you say that Jesus and God would be the same person? I said, well, it's very easy if you just let your own thinking get away and think the Bible terms of it. They are the self-same being. God is the Spirit. Jesus is the body that he was veiled in. See? I was called a false teacher because of a Jesus-only doctrine. I'm not preaching two gods. The prophet's preaching two gods. Would you like to stand here this morning, this afternoon, and accuse the prophet of preaching two gods? Well, come on, be my guest. Step up. There'll be a place hot enough for you. If you don't repent. I'm not your judge. But he's here.
Amen.
Remember Tuesday night about the Roman candle? Wednesday night about the Roman candle? You haven't got the tape. You get the tape. Brother Evans will run a bunch off this afternoon. You see you again. You'll find why some of this word becomes so clear. Why yet it's so foggy. Well, I said, like in my home, to my wife, I'm her husband. And I have a young daughter, Rebecca, and I'm her father. And I have a grandson, and his name is Paul. I am his grandfather. I am husband, father, grandfather. And my wife has no claim on me as father or grandfather. She has claims on me alone as husband. And my daughter has no claim on me as husband or grandfather. She is my child. See? But yet all these three persons is the same person. See, that's God. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. It's just the dispensation claim. God is same. The same God. God changed himself, changes his form. Now that's what he really meant when he said changes himself. What he was really saying, look, he takes the portion of the attributes that are collective as is necessary for a certain fulfillment, and he puts them wham in one person. And over here, another series of attributes. Well, that's what he says, but it's the same person containing all the attributes. But into manifestation at a certain time for a certain reason, if you notice here in Philippians, he said, not thinking it robbery. He took the form of man. Now the Greek word for that, F-form, that's, I've been looking at it all day yesterday, trying to think of what it was. I find come to the word onmorphe, spelled E-N, M-O-R-P-H-E, looking at the Greek to find what onmorpho was. I may pronounce that wrong, but the reason I spell it when the taste release, people will know what I mean by it. When the onmorphe, that means that he changed himself. He come down. Now, the Greek word there means, now listen, that something could not be seen, yet it's there. Then it's changed, and the eye can catch it. That's not Greek. That's the Holy Ghost. in a prophet telling you exactly what the Holy Ghost had in mind when that was written in the Greek and the Aramaic. See? It's there, and the eye can't catch it. So he puts it where the eye can catch that which is invisible.
Amen.
See? Brother Branham was way beyond the Greek. They fought about the Greek in the first century and just about to wipe themselves out. Brother Branham didn't fight with the Greek. He just got with God. Now he wipes us all back. Like Elijah was a Dothan. See, the servant couldn't see all those angels around there, and God just changed. Not brought the angels down, but he changed the seeing of the servant. And there was the mountains full of angels and fire and horses of fire and chariots of fire all around his prophet. He just changed the seeing. The thing is already there. So that what I'm trying to say, that God that already was is here. And the only thing he done when he become man, he changed his mask. See? This on Morpha. He changed himself to what he was, to what he is, or his mask. See? Changing the mask. Another act. Like a great drama. As I was speaking this morning, kind of catching up on this Shakespeare. It's been a long time. When Shakespeare wrote the drama for King James of England, the character in the best. See, Shakespeare did not believe in witches, but for the play, well, the king did believe in witches, so he had to include witches. So now, in order to do this, they changed the cast. Becky here and Carmen, they acted that in the school where she just graduated a few weeks ago. Now, maybe one person played three or four parts. In order to do that, he changed his mask. Sometime he came out as this character, next time he came out as another character. But it is the same person all the time. That's God. He changed himself, that's the mask, from a pillar of fire to a man, from a whirlwind to a man, from a cloud to a man, from an angel to a man, from a theophany to a man. Then changed himself from that back in the spirit again. See, he changed from pillar of fire to man, then he changed himself from that back to the spirit again, that he might dwell in a man. Alright, he was in the cloud of fire, put himself in a man, went back to the fire, came down to Pentecost, indwelling men. Okay. Then he changed himself back to spirit again, that he might dwell in man. God acting in man what he really was. Jesus Christ was God acting in a man. In a man. That's what he was. He changed from the pillar of fire. Then had come in, which was a veil in the wilderness that hid God from Israel. Moses seen the shape of his body, but really he was hid all the time behind his pillar of fire, which was the Logos that went from God. In other words, where would God get his own covering except in himself? Wasn't out there somewhere. So it came out. Now we find at Pentecost, God is not acting in a man or act, that is, act. He's now acting through man. He's acting through men, you see. See, he was acting in a man, then Jesus. Now, he's acting through men that he has chosen for this purpose. God in the form of man. He changed himself from the form of God to a form of man. He came in three names, three sons' names. He came in the son of man, the son of David, the son of God, three sons' names. Now, he came first in the son of man because he was a prophet. Now, Jehovah called Ezekiel the prophet, son of man. What seest thou? Jesus never referred himself as son of God. Well, he did, but he's not talking of the fact that Jesus said, I'm a son of God. He's talking about the fact that they referred the reference in this particular mask, see? Because he wasn't the son of God according to the mask. That is Holy Spirit alone. See? But the mask, son of man. He referred himself as son of man because the scripture cannot be broken. There can be nothing broken in scripture. Every word must go on, must be so rather. That's the way I believe it. That's the way it's got to be. Not because I believe it, because it's the word of God. Notice now how he came. He had to come as son of man because the Holy Spirit said that he would. God would raise up a prophet to them. So he could not come calling himself the son of God because it wasn't that dispensation. He was the son of man prophesying to fulfill and revealing to them all the things that had been done and type what he was. Then he was on earth as son of man. Look at that Syrophoenician woman run up to him and said, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Never so much as raised his head. She had no claims on him as son of David. She was a Gentile. No more than my daughter has claims on me as husband and wife as daughter. Yet she is my daughter and my wife. She's my daughter in the gospel. That's his wife. But earthly, she has no right to call me a father. See? Now notice, this Gentile woman had no claims on him, a son of David. But by Bartimaeus did. He was a Jew. Now he came a son of man. You have to know these words and these things. Okay, now just stop thinking, start thinking there. What if you don't know? Oh, I'll get my excitement from some great big flash. Go ahead. Go ahead. I can take my coat off and warm you up. Don't think I can't. I'll get you running around here like a bunch of dingbats. Tell what you want. He said, you got it. Words and these things. Look at Hattie right that time when the third pull. You remember? Of all the everything, that woman said the right thing. Of all the everything that could have been said, she said the right thing. You've got to say that right word, the right thing to God. Then if you have to say the right thing to God, you had better get it from God. How are you going to get it? Except your prophet. Or listen to your prophet. Notice now he came first. I repeat. This is not William Branham repeating. This is me repeating what William Branham said. Notice now he came first as the prophet. And they crucified him. They crucified his own, crucified him. He came as the Son of Man. Then after the Holy Spirit came, he was then the Son of God. God is Spirit. He was the Holy Spirit, Son of God. He lived through the church ages as Son of God. Now in the millennium, he'll be Son of David, sitting on the throne of his father David. He is the Son of David. Now you notice between the Son of God and the Laodicean church age, they put him out. And in Luke, he said he would be revealed again as Son of Man. The prophet, fulfilling the rest of it. The rest of what? You'll desire to see the days of the Son of Man again. Won't see him afterward. See? The scriptures tie together perfectly. Son of Man, Son of God. Son of David, what was it? It's the same God all the time, just changing his form on Morpha. He just changed it. It's a great drama. He's acting it out. He came as Son of Man, the prophet, done exactly. Even that little woman in all her sin, there at the well, she recognized him. Shacked up with five men, now had a sixth. Oh, God wouldn't reveal nothing to that harlot. She's a choo-hoo. But he did. I told you the other night, he takes the beggar off the dung heap and makes him a prince. If you don't smell like manure, you ain't getting it. Jesus smelled like manure, and he put him in a manger in a barn. She said, we know Messiah's coming, which is called the Christ. That's what he'll do. See, she recognized because she was a predestinated seed. Where the rest of them didn't recognize that they had nothing to recognize with. They were in sin to begin with. For his acts, his role, his drama, he changes his form. then he came the form of the Son of Man. For the Reformers' age, Wesley, Lutheran, all down through, then we find out that they got us so bungled up. I guess bungled up, he meant. Just like Israelites did. Till when he does appear in the last days, in the Pentecostal age, as the Holy Spirit, and he's talking now about the Son of Man. Right? Talking about the Son of Man. And so therefore it's in the form of the Spirit. They rejected it. They did the same thing Israel did. Now he said they already done rejected it. What does he do now? Return a Son of Man, and then from that, Son of David. All right? Came as the Son of Man, went back, came a Son of God, comes a Son of Man, next a Son of David. See how close we are? Son of Man, Son of David, Son of God. He revealed in the last days as the Son of... He's revealed. He's to be revealed, see? In the last days, as the Son of Man, according to Malachi 4 and all the rest of the prophecies pertaining to this hour. No more dealing with the church after they put him out. On the outside, knocking at the door. Some predestinated seed in there yet. He must get to them. And God in man has emptied himself. Joel 28. We find out he said, I'll pour out in the last days my spirit. Now, if you notice that word, the Greek word, I may have this wrong, but the one I could find, you have to watch the word. The English sometimes have double meaning. Just like we say the word God. God created heaven and earth. Genesis 1. But now in the Bible it said in the beginning, Elohim. Now, Elohim, the English calls God, but it really wasn't Elohim. Anything can be God. Anything could be God to the word God. You could make an idol a God. You could make a piano a God. You can make anything a God. But it isn't so in the word Elohim. Because that's not God at all. That's Elohim. It means self-existing one. See, that piano can't be self-existing. Nothing can be self-existing. So the word Elohim means he that always existed. God can mean anything. And you look it up in the book and you're going to find the word God and Lord. It's a magistrate, judge, sir, mister, man of repute. Until you go to the books on theology, and you will find they trace you through heathenism and everything and cannot come up with a definitive answer. I know I've got the books. Page after page I look and I say, oy, 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 oy. Thank God for Brother Brennan. The word Elohim means he always existed. God can mean anything. See the difference in the word? Now when it's, see now he said, listen, you gotta watch those words. You gotta know what they mean to watch the words. This is not alphabet soup. And if he's Alpha and Omega, the whole alphabet, it still doesn't mean that you and I fish around to take the letters to make him something. It's in there what is. You better get a revelation. Now what it said here, he emptied himself or poured out. Now we think like this, that he would vomit up. The English word of emptied or poured out from him. Like something gushing forth, see? See, something went out of him that was different from him. But the word kenos, that's the kenosis in the Greek, does not mean that he vomited up. His arm went off, eye went out, another person. And that is, he changed himself. He poured himself into another mask, into another form. Not another person. Now listen, listen. Not another person went out of him called the Holy Spirit, but it was he himself. Huh? You with me? Get your thinking cap on. This is life and death. People think we're kidding. We're not kidding here. You think I'd preach this way if I didn't believe what I'm talking about? If my own life wasn't touched? You think I'd preach some razzle-dazzle or some stupid thing? Listen, this is exactly what Servetus said, and Calvin had him burned at the stake for saying it. Not another person went out of him called the Holy Spirit. He was and is the Holy Spirit. He poured himself into another mask. He poured himself into the people, Christ in you. All that stuff about God sending the Son. He was the Son. Amen. He interposed himself in a human body. How beautiful, how wonderful to think. God pouring himself into the human being, into the believer, poured out. It was a part of his drama to do so. God, all the fullness, all the Godhead bodily in this person, Jesus Christ, he was God in God alone. Not a third person or a second person or a first person, but the person. God, pale in human flesh. 1 Timothy 3:16, without controversy, great is the mystery of Godness. Capital G, capital O, capital G, Elohim, God. In the Bible, refer it back to anybody it refers to in the original. It said Elohim in the beginning, Elohim, see? And Elohim, without controversy, great is the mystery of Elohim. For Elohim was made flesh and we beheld him. Elohim veiled in human flesh. The great Jehovah, same Elohim, that covered all space, time, and everywhere was made man. We handled him, Elohim, in the beginning, Elohim. And Elohim was made flesh, dwell among us. What? This is his way. The parts of his drama. That's the way he's acted out. His way of revealing himself to us as some different person. We are mortal, and he knows that. And we only understand as mortal. We only know as mortal. We only know as our senses will let us know. And the rest of it we have to believe by faith. If I can do that one. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. We have to say there is a God, whether we see him or not. We believe it anyhow, see? Whether there is or not, we still believe it because God said so. Who is this great unseen person? Who is this that Abraham saw in visions? Right at last, though he was manifested in flesh before the sun came, God himself came to Abraham in the form of a man at the end time. Manifested. He saw him in a little light one time. He saw him in visions. He heard his voice, many revelations. But just before the promised son, he saw him in the form of a man and talked to him and fed him meat and drink. See, notice God himself veiled in human flesh and he acted as human flesh does. I already said that, not Brother Branham. That was a part of his way. This is the way he manifests himself to us. Manifests the eternal word. God, Jehovah, made flesh. Like in 1 John, in the beginning was the Word, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word is made Elohim, see? It's just the same thing unfolding. Like the attribute, see? It is in God. An attribute is your thought. God in the beginning, the eternal. He wasn't even a God. He was the eternal. He wasn't even God. God's an object of worship or something, see? So he wasn't even that. He was Elohim, the eternal. But in him was thought. I'm reading this fat, but I hope you're getting it because you've got to know about God. Said, Brother Dale, I want a sensation. Well, all right. Anybody got a knife? We'll give you a sensation. Got a match? One of the good ones is to put matches under the toenails, and then we light the match, and you have a little fun. It's called the hot foot. Well, maybe you like to feel good. Well, I got a doctor friend. I'm sure I got enough money to buy you an operation, just one of you, not more than one. And we'll have them put little cathodes or what do you call these things in the mind here, and we'll hook you up to the battery, and you'll laugh all day long and have a ball. No, you don't do it that way. Don't do it that way. No, sir. All right. So he was Elohim the Eternal, but in him was thought. He wanted to become material. What did he do? Then he spoke a word and the word was materialized. That's the whole picture from Genesis to Revelation. There's nothing wrong. It's Elohim materializing so he can be touched and felt. And in the millennium, there's Elohim sitting on the throne. See, that's right. With all his subjects round him, that he was predestinated, that he predestined the foundation of the world. And who is Elohim in? Jesus, the Christ. Amen. The man. Like a man building chimes or making chimes, the molder of the chimes. Each bell has got to ring different from the other one. The same material, but so much iron, so much steel, so much brass to give it the ting. That's the way God did. Now listen, he bred this one to that one. Are you listening? No, you're not. You're batting your eyes. Oh, yeah, by eye batting this building at all, you listen. God bred. This one to that one, to this one to that one, to this one to that one, till he got exactly what he wanted. That's how he came down. Abraham and Sarah, Isaac, Rebecca, Jacob, Rachel, and Leah. Judah coming on the scene. But this way, right down the line, till he got to a virgin called Mary. God did that. What do you think of that? That's what he did. Natural election of Jesus. It was the election. You getting bored? Oh, it's funny. Some people get bored. I can eat good food all day long. I'm like the proverbial goose. When he gets too stuffed, just take a stick and shove some more down, because it's still good.
Amen.
He bred this one to that one, to this one, to that one, to this one, to that one, till he got exactly what he wanted. That's how he come down. God veiled himself in a pillar of fire down through the prophets, then into the Son of God, which he was God. See, the same God bringing out exactly from perfection to perfection, from glory unto glory. That's the way the church goes.
It means that there is a progressive revelation of God until God stands fully unveiled before us. You hear what I'm saying? I'm looking for it. How about you? Now listen, come on. Let's be in this together. Get your faith up. That's what this is all about. Next Sunday, we really build your faith. Today, we're laying a basis for it. All right. Now, through the ages. Notice, through the ages, the same way by his prophets. He has revealed himself. Them wasn't exactly prophets. They were God. He said so. For what they spoke was God's word. They were the flesh that God was veiled in. They were gods. Jesus himself said, how can you condemn me when I say I'm the Son of God? And your own law says them who the word of the Lord come through was God. And it was God formed in a man called a prophet. See? Now, let that sink in. Well, that's a tough one. Because right away the word comes back. Have no other God. Oh, I'm scared, scared. For Pete's sake, who said that?
Right.
Huh, Moses did. Oh, yeah. Maybe I can relax after. I'm not up here trying to be a ham actor. I'm just getting you to know what goes on in your mind. Because I know what goes on in your mind because you've got a mind like mine. It's corrupt. Amen. It'll be the devil's lie every single time unless God does something about it.
Right.
And people just don't believe what God says. God was in the prophets. What are you going to do about it? Well, let me try to figure it. Shut up. What are you trying to figure? I'm up here in some clothes, ain't I? What's the figure? What's the figure? I got a little hair in my head, not too much. Cut the figure. People try to figure anything. Stop figuring. You believe it. So God was formed in a man called a prophet, see? And the word of the Lord came to this man, so it wasn't the prophet. The prophet was the veil. But the word was God. Man's word won't act like that. No, no, he didn't say God. He said word now. So God's in his word. The word's in the prophet. Now, of course, people don't say, no, now that gets me a little out. That gets me out of the picture. So therefore, the prophet is not so-and-so. Oh, for Pete's sake, listen. There is a little spring, because this is not one of those battery cord washers. This is a spring wash. There's a hairspring in there. And the hairspring is encased in what do you call those things now that you put casings in? Well, it doesn't matter any. And then it's put in an actual case. See, first of all, there's a little hairspring in there, but it's set into a frame. I'll remember this too late in the day. A housing. That's what it is. It's housing. Then the housing is set into this case. He says, hey, that started in a nice way, explains away the spring in the watch. Don't be ridiculous. No spring, no watch. You follow me? Is that helping you? Word comes out of the prophet. God's in the word. You say how? What's it to you? Spring is in the housing, is in the case. Let your mind go. Relax, rejoice. Have fun. This is Jubilee.
Amen.
You say, was it not like you up there? Sure, all the more Jubilee. You'll get rid of me one of these days. The world's going to be glad to get shuck of me. I'm going to be glad to get shuck of the world. Devil don't like me. I don't like the devil. That makes it mutual. That's what you call mutual fun. If you and not if you and me. Man's word won't act that like that. See? A man can only say and perform what he is able to and limited to. Now you get a word coming through that man. And that word outdoes anything anywhere beyond the man. That's got to be somebody else's word. Now, what's doing it? God. Then who's in the man with the word that doesn't act like a man's word? God. Just like Jesus said, God's in me, he's speaking through me. Now, see what I mean? It cannot act in that manner. But potentially it was God. See? He was the word of God. He's talking about the prophet. In the form of a man, called a man. Notice, he never changed his nature, only his form. Hebrews 13:8. That's why I told you the other day, Hebrews 13:8, could not refer to the body because the body has changed. If he hasn't got a changed body, ha! Forget. His blood shed that fell on the earth. He never took it back. He couldn't have taken it all back because the right here, that blood falling on the earth is redeeming the earth so the bodies can come out. That's why we're going to have a new heaven and new earth. Whole thing's all under the blood. See? All right. He's the same yesterday named River. So he did not change his nature when he came. He is always the prophet. All down through the age. Same thing. The Word. The Word. The Word. See? He cannot change his nature. He only changed his form. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13:8. He just changed his mask. Like, I changed from husband when my child is born and I'm father. When my grandchild is born, I'm grandfather. See, but I don't change. It's still me. And that's the way it is with God. You change your form, see? Now nature changes it down from a young man to a middle-aged man to an old man. And there you are, see, you just change your form. You know, that's exactly true. You know, I'm going to tell you something. Now, look, this is no secret. I'm 68 years old. My wife's 68 years old. Here we are. We're not dead, but sometimes we wish we were. But I'm going to tell you. My wife and I still think we can run just as far and just as fast and just as hard during the evening when we were 20 years old, but it doesn't work. Because the form has changed. Why don't we tell you something? We haven't changed. No? The only change we ever got was the fact that we were born again. And that was two spirits uniting. We're the same people. That's why I keep telling you, I have no problem getting out of here. The only problem is getting out of here. Because I'm going to be me. And it's going to be a glorious me, because that's all I want to be is me. I don't want to be Jesus. I don't want to be you. I don't want to be William Branham. I don't want to be Paul. Thank God I'm not. And thank God he wasn't me. Lucky old fellow, Paul. The song that says, I just want to be me is right. But I want to be the real me. The strapped down by this body. Who will deliver me? Christ. Same means you're going to change my form. Hallelujah. Just think of that this afternoon. Just think of it. Wonderful. There's not one person here doesn't have some kind of complex. Why? Because you associate that rotten part of your nature in the body to the real you. Now, let me ask you a question. If you'd have been born different so that you had power over that, would you not have laid that down and never be the you that you think you are? So, therefore, you are the you that you don't think you are. The real you never did it to begin with. Now you're going to be free. Thank God for the change of the form. Get us, shoot, that's all I want. Change the form. Got a new prayer to pray. Now you couldn't say a little fellow standing up here, 16-year-old boy, was a grandfather. You couldn't be. That's exactly right. His form has to be changed. A few years change it, then he becomes grandpa. See what I mean? But it's the same person all the time, the same person God all the time. In this way, he reveals himself to his people in doing this. Notice, through the age of the pillar of fire, he revealed himself to his people. In the age of Jesus, he revealed himself to his people. In the age of the Holy Spirit, Son of God, Son of David. And he always reveals himself in that manner to his people, making the people to know him. He's veiled behind something, notice, in the same way or same nature every time. In other words, he doesn't pull a series of things to confuse you. He lets you know by that pattern that that's the same God that's doing it now that was doing it then. Sure. God veiled in Jesus to do the work of redemption at the cross. Now, what good would it have been for God to be veiled in the pillar of fire for redemption? There's no blood in the pillar of fire. God could not die a spirit. He's eternal. But he had to put on a mask and act the part of death. He did die, but he couldn't do it in the God form. He had to do it in the Son form as Son of Man on earth. See? He had to be in the Son form. Then when he returned on Pentecost, he was the Son of God again. See what I mean? Get the idea?
Where is that in? Check my notes here.
Yep. Okay. That's just reading. Now for the hard part. Okay. from what we read here and what you saw, the changing of the form, the validity of the prophet, we can now go to Exodus 3, 1 to 6. That is, God was veiled, masked, and yet made visible by the amorpha process, and it is the same as Matthew 16 and 13. So let's go back to Exodus, the third chapter, 1 to 6. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the messenger of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Now this one who had no visibility to this man because of this man's condition being mortal had to do something. So he takes on the form of fire. And Moses said, I'll now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And the Lord saw that he turned aside to see God. I was a messenger. God's his own messenger. Now, you know what? I ain't going to settle for nothing less than God. If God says somebody send somebody else to me, I ain't going. If God says somebody else to talk for me instead of himself, I ain't listening. If God would dare to do one thing through somebody else and not himself, I am not interested, because there's one Redeemer and one Savior. And if he doesn't do it, I don't want it done. And where's your churches, your creeds, your dogmas, your morality, your immorality, anything else, you name it? God's his own messenger. God's his own prophet. He always was. God called. Why has he done this? In the form of a visibility. He takes titles and names, but it's the same God. The messenger of the covenant. The messenger in a pillar of fire. His angels, his messenger, our spirits of fire. God called. Moses! Moses! Here I am! Draw not nigh hither. Put off your shoes and off your feet. The place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father. Who was his father? I don't know. Forget. It's interesting. I'm the God of Abraham. That's getting good. I'm the God of Isaac. I'm the God of Jacob. Moses hid his face. He was afraid to look upon God. Thought he saw fire. Saw God. What God is identified with, you must call God. That strikes the key, doesn't it? Huh? All right. Let's go to Matthew 16. Beginning at verse 13. When Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Some said, you're John the Baptist, Jeremiah, one of the prophets. But whom do you say I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said, blessed are you, Simon Barjona. Flesh and blood hath not revealed unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I'm building my church upon the rock of Revelation. And Jesus said, if you believe not that I am, you'll die in your sins. Before Abraham was, I am. Who was he? Elohim, who changed his mask. Notice Exodus chapter 19. Verse 19, it came to pass on the third day in the mornings that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mountain, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so all the people who were in the camp trembled. Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the nether part, that's the lower part of the mountain, and Mount Sinai was altogether on smoke because the Lord had descended upon it in a fire. And the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace. Hey, that's the same one Abraham dealt with when he put the covenant beast there, the turtle doves and everything else, and like a smoking furnace came down, God came down. Did God came down like a smoking furnace? Caiaphas said, oh, now that was God. He said, he'd come down with a red carpet and give us a treatment. What's your idea of God today? Sinai on smoke, the Lord descend upon it in fire, and the smoke thereof ascended the smoke of the furnace, and the mount quaked greatly. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long, the people waxed louder and louder. Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. God's got a voice. What language he taught? Hebrew? English? Pidgin English? Kentuckyese? Yeah, he even talks like people around here in Belfont, DeGraff, Lena. That sounds kind of skinny, but it's right. Yeah, talks any language. Columbus? Where are you from? Dayton? Toledo? Not that might surprise you, Toledo folks. He talks like folk in Toledo. If you ever talk that, you talk your language. Exodus 24 and 16, and the glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And the seventh day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on the top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel. And Moses went into the midst of the cloud. Right face to face with God. And gat him up in the mount. And Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. Exodus 33, 18, beginning. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I'll make all my goodness pass before thee. Now notice, listen, this is for this hour. A prophet like unto Moses raised up Elijah the prophet. I'll make all my goodness pass before thee. This is Horeb. And I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. God's going to proclaim his own name. And I'll be gracious to whom I will be gracious. And show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, you can't see my face. For no man can see me and live. The Lord said, behold, here is a place by me. Thou shalt stand upon a rock. A revelation. It will come to pass when my glory passes by from the revelation. I'll put you in the cleft of the rock. I'll hide you in the revelation. You'll become a part of the revelation. And I'll cover you with my hand while I pass by. While I'm here amongst you, I've got you in my hand, and no man can pluck you out. Then the time comes, I'll take away my hand. He'll leave us, that's right, and go up ahead of us and incarnate himself. Now we won't see a bleeding back this time, because the blood won't be there. We'll see the nail prints and all, but we'll see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Notice 1 Kings 19, 8 to 14, and he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. Remember my servant Moses in Horeb. This is Elijah. Remember Elijah now in Horeb. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him. William Branham lodged in the cave. He said, what do you do here, William Branham? Elijah just. And he said, I've been very zealous for the Lord, jealous for the Lord of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenants, thrown down and all are slain, and thy prophets with the sword. And I am left alone, and here I am in Chicago, this big convention, and I'm being challenged by all the preachers. Verse 11, he said, go forth and stand upon the mountain before the Lord. He said, I'm going to tell you something. He said, they're not going to meet in that hotel. They're going to meet down here. I tell you how they're going to sit. I'm with you. Don't you where you go on down. And the first one that stands before you's got the guts here. You'll carry him on feet first. I'm vindictive, but I think I've been scared that time as well. I talk heavy as though I'm very vindictive, but I was there when he had the power of life and death, and don't let me go through that again. Now I'm chicken. Stand before upon the mountain before the Lord. And behold, listen, I'm going to tell you something. It's no more just a word. It is the pyramid of God's word that that man stood on. We're up at the top, brother, sister. Oh, this is the hour to live in. I never could believe why Brother Branham would say it. I'm with him 100% now. Oh, I get feeling better and better about it. You don't know why, but that's my business, not yours. It's not what you think it is. So don't put some big emphasis on it. I got my problems, you got yours, and God's solving my problems. Hallelujah. Isn't that nice? And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains, breaking rocks before the Lord. The Lord was not in the wind. After the earthquake, after the wind and earthquake, the Lord not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, a fire. The Lord is not in the fire. after the fire, a still small voice. Notice, to Moses' head, he showed his back, a bleeding back, but to Elijah, the word. I remember my servant Moses, he sought to smite the rock twice. Don't make that mistake. But when he speaks, listen. Because when that one speaks from heaven once more, Hebrews 12, everything comes rocking down but the rock of revelation itself. Those that are in the cleft of the rock are part of the revelation. You know that you are bride when you realize you are part of this revelation, and that's all you live and breathe for. Don't betray yourself, my brother, my sister. You think the devil can betray you? I'm going to tell you, you betray yourself. I never forget when I was in Edmonton. I stood before the people. I'm a Canadian by birth. And I said, I want you to know one thing. Don't believe me because you say Brother Vail is a Canadian by birth. I was hitting at the fact they're believing a man from Germany. But they listened anyway. Where are they today? Yeah. Let me tell you something. Flesh and blood doesn't mean anything. I say this, I say it again. I have no wife. I have no father. I have no mother. I have no children. I have no friends when it comes to this message. I told my wife years ago, years and years ago, I said, let me tell you something, kid. If I ever turn from God, don't you dare turn from God. You leave me. I'm serious, as much as I can be. You're only in Him because you're part of that revelation. You have to be a part of that Word the same as you. That Word became flesh. And we're right back to Logos becoming flesh. Because we as a collective thought, as individually come forth, so He was the great collective thought of all in one body. Now, He was not, but after the fire, still small voice. And it was so when Elijah heard, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out. That's right, hide your face. You don't need to look anymore, just hear. Because hearing is seeing. Whatever you got, just wrap your face in it. And listen. So what do you do here, Elijah? I've been jealous of the Lord of hosts because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down and all are slain, thy prophets are sword, and I am left alone. They seek my life to take it away. I'm going to tell you something. You know what? This isn't pride. There's no pride in that old boy. He really thought there was nobody left. I'm not Elijah. But I have been stabbed in the back by so many preachers, I don't even want them around me anymore. I hate to say this, and I'm not pointing any one person because God knows there's a bunch out there. You say, Brother Bale, do you think you're standing alone? Not by a shotgun full, I'm not standing alone. I just don't have brains at the time to realize. Elijah had his 7,000. There's a lot of preachers out there. Stand 100% with the word. It's my lot that I'm going to be hit hard because of this gift. The prophet said so. Elijah hit because of his gift. Brother Brand hit because of his gift. If you've got a gift, now I'm going to tell you something. There's not one person that's born again doesn't have a gift. And if you're not hit for that gift, you better start looking and find what's wrong with you. Now, the more the gift is in sight, the more it's going to get thrown rotten eggs at. That's okay, though. No, eggs come from chickens. Eagles don't have enough eggs to get thrown anybody. Praise. Love it. The Lord said, go your way to the women of Damascus. There you're going to anoint Hazael. All right, listen. Now, let it be known that the mask or the veil was never God per se. But the veil contained and manifested Elohim with the specific purpose of the manifestation being the Word. Understand? The veil never was God. The veil manifested that God was there. And the veil was for the specific purpose of the Word. All right. It is exactly as Brother Branham said. God playing out His own drama, and that drama involves us. Repeat. Repeat. God is not on a stage strutting. He is not displaying His majesty in a panoply of fireworks. On the contrary, everything God does is brought down to the level of the chickens. Yeah. So every mouth is closed in judgment day. Everything God does, it is in involvement with us. Just stop and think. We got time, right? Ah, it's only 2:30. Hour and a half. That's the quickest hour and a half we've had for, 20 minutes? God playing out His own drama. And that drama involves us. See? It's not God showing how smart He is. A lot of people like to stand back saying, oh, how great He is, how this, how that. As though, if we were put in a demeaned position. See? Talked down to. Made to feel inferior. Then God says, too good need. Hogwash. That's not God. That's the devil.
Amen.
Not God, that's the devil. That's the devil all the way through His religion, His everything, His spirit. That's not God. Understand, you're involved with God. Not the devil. For it is more than a drama. It is life. It is God living out and manifesting His life, Himself, as He is by His own life involved with us. Now you thought I was redundant when I said that. Let me read again. It is more than a drama. It is life. Not a passing fancy. Not an interlude. Not a display. Hey, Brother Branham stood there. And he said so calmly and sweetly, he said, now, this is for those who have prayer cards, who have a little vote. Now, he said, would you like to see 24 miracles guaranteed tonight? Or would you all like to come to the prayer line? Now, he said, 60% get healed in the prayer line. But he said, you with the prayer cards, you make the vote. Would you like to see 24 guaranteed miracles? Oh, my. My head was spinning. And say, oh, boy, 24 guaranteed miracles. Wow, 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 wow. But he said, you that hold the cards, you vote. How many want to see the miracles? Nobody. I don't think one hand went up. What do you say? Who wants a prayer man? Humbly, simply say.
Watch me, the great prophet. Watch that great God go into action.
You see why God came down that time and said to Brother Branham, you made a sideshow? You made a circus? How would you like to go to a circus where the guy says, people, we have the greatest attractions in the world. Here is a dog-faced lady. And Ripley's leaving it out. He's a yuck. Hurry, hurry, hurry! Get your tickets from over here.
Still small voice. No big deal. That's why I say relax. There's no sideshow. This is no act. This is no little drama. This is life. It's more than a drama. It's life. Now listen. It is God living out. It is God
living out and manifesting his light himself. You see, Brother Vail, isn't it really that God wants to manifest his life in us? Now, you see, there's where everybody puts the emphasis. Forget it. We're not dealing with that anymore. See, here's where people constantly misunderstand me and I misunderstand the prophet. It is not character. Though if this hour character means anything, this is the greatest hour for character and cognitive distinction of the junk that's out there. It's not fruit, though there is fruit. It's not God in you doing anything. It is God himself doing something for you. Because the God in you has transpired, though he still is. Always through the ages and even now. It is God living out and manifesting his life, himself, as he is by his own life involved with us. Now he's been involved as Son of God, filling us with the Holy Ghost. It's Son of Man now. I will now show how clever I am. You know this is a bluff, of course. Page 53 of the Unveiling of the Mighty God. Oh, Brother Vail, you are so clever. Yes, because somebody told me where it was. Do you believe that in this age that we're living in, all this chaos and scientific age, like it was in the days of Noah, in the days of Moses, the days of Christ, that God, the great Father of all of us who are born into him, stands among us today? That's not Pentecost. After Pentecost.
Hallelujah.
And he's involved with us. Getting us out of the church. Romans 11:33-36. Sure glad you had dinner. Now you can really eat. I'm eating just fine myself. I enjoy this word as I've never enjoyed it. Today it is life. It is no longer, it's just not what it was. You know, before God, it just is not what it was. This is not Pentecost or anything like it. This is the rest of the seventh seal. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out, for if known the mind of the Lord who has been his counselor, or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again. Now listen, for of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. And it's all related to us, the beneficiaries we are. So with this fact in mind, we go back to Revelation 1:12-18. The great changer of the mask. The same yesterday, today, and forever. And we view him. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. Conversational, by the way. Like God and Moses. Paul and God. William Branham and God. Being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks in the midst of the seven candlesticks. One like unto the Son of Man, clothed the garment down to the floor, girt about the pass, golden girdle. Head and hair, white like wool, as white as snow, eyes as flame of fire, feet like unto fine brass if they burned in the furnace. That's judgment, you see. Trod the winepress alone. His voice is the sound of many waters, and his right hand seven stars, like a mug with a sharp two-edged sword. Countless with it the sun shining, his strength, and I saw the fell, his feet as dead. Laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, now he's at the right hand of God, and who's at his right hand? Us! Guest of honor. Power, strength. I and he that liveth was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen, and have the keys of hell and death. Now notice, here again is Elohim veiled in a man-like creation. Repeat and hear the words, veiled in a man-like creation. It does not say he is the Son of Man. It does not even say, like it says in the King James, like unto the Son of Man. It does say, one like a Son of Man, and that's what Brother Branham said. He didn't even know he said the unveiling God. So here he is, Elohim, in the midst of the seven churches, using seven messengers, and he who is the source of life and light,
to the seven churches for seven ages now identifies himself again with his own, and he is doing it in the Lord's day through the role of his own drama, and that role is one of a judge.
And judges are roles played by people. And nobody else. So he's got to appear as a people. Pardon me, vulgarity, but I use these things so you get the whole picture. He is a people. He is a one of us. It is the same one. And he is not the prophet, per se, though he is prophet. He is judge. Right? Now be careful to get this. In the beginning, God, that's all. Then, he begins to express himself by a substantial creation. That is a creation of substance that envelops him. From that time of that creation, all else flows from it. Concerning creation and revelation. And from all else that flows, beginning at the Logos of John 1 and 1 to the New Jerusalem, is Ephesians 1, 1 to 23. You with me? I made a statement. From John 1 and 1, the beginning is the Word, the Word said God, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. At beginning of the Logos. From there until the New Jerusalem, everything that flows is found in Ephesians 1. Epitomized. Nutshell. Call it what you want. Let's go to Ephesians 1. See, we're going to take all the time we want. Just nobody's in a hurry. Yeah. All except me. And I'm not going anywhere, so. Okay. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. How else? To the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. To whom else? Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That hits it for me. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Before a speck of stardust. Way back before a beginning. That we should be holy and without blame before him. Period. That's how we are before him. That should cause some sighs of relief. That's what he said. I didn't say it. This is his wisdom doing this. I didn't ask him to. Now notice, he's involved with us. In love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. What if that according to the good pleasure will involves experiences of sorrow and darkness, tragedy? I didn't want to be born anyway. I got fuss at God. What did he make me for anyway? Oh, you'll get over that. I'm getting this words. I find this, there's no problem with God. I've got a problem myself, but not with God. He's great. He's wonderful. He's beautiful. I tell you, you listen, you don't know what I'm saying because you've never been there, but when you spit in God's face like I've done it and made him a liar for people and taking his place, you get pretty caged the time you say, hey, I'm not going through that anymore. Not the suffering I've gone through, but to realize his grace and his mercy to me as he took me through, spit in his face, make him a liar. Get in his way. That's love, brother, sister. You can say what you want.
He's of the glory of his grace. And I want to tell you, I say amen and amen and amen to that one. Wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to riches of grace, wherein he abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to the good pleasure of his, which he purposed himself. And here's what it is. In the dispensation of fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ. That's way over here. Put all things under his feet, made them fill the whole body. No more dispensations on earth, see? In whom we have also obtained an inheritance. Jesus Christ paid a big price and we just inherit it. Doesn't cost us nothing. Separate children of God, true grace. He might, being predestined according to the purpose of him that worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, first trust in him, in whom you also hoped, in whom you also hoped after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. And that tells you how you got it. You got to come by the word. After you believe, you see the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest, the inheritance of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchase possession, the praise and glory of his grace. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, love unto all the saints, cease not, give thanks and make mention of my prayers. Now listen. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may appear in a form again that gives a revelation. You say, Brother Bailey read that in there like fun. I read it in there. I'm telling you what it means. I read nothing in there. I'm telling you exactly what it says. Because how are you going to get it? What's going to be the form? Simple. How did it come? Pillar of fire. How did we get it? Prophet. What prophet? Elijah. You bored? You can be if you like. I never cease to marvel. I told you, I'm not kidding you. I can feel sick come up here and feel just like $1 million. I can feel tired come up here. My brain like a piece of mush. That's the way it was Wednesday night, but you wouldn't know it, would you, when I got up here? Why shouldn't I like to preach? I thank you for coming. Be my guest. The spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. A form. How did he speak? In the prophets. Well, you see, he done quit that. See, that's the fundamental mind that's been corrupted. When Jesus came, they say it's finished. That's a lie from the pit of hell because Paul received a further revelation. John was a prophet. Let your anger and righteous indignation rise at this corruption. Until you throw off the devil's chains, which are creeds and dogmas and lies concerning the Word of God. Eyes, your understanding, enlightened, you may know what his hope is calling, the eyes, your heart is. May get right down in here, you're part of the revelation. Until you're part of the beat of the holy temple. Until you throb with the life of the drama. And what is exceeding greatness? Notice the richness of coming at the end time. You know the your eyes, your heart being enlightened. You know the hope of his calling. The riches of the glory of his inheritance saints. And then the thunder, the what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe according to the working mighty power which he wrought in Christ when he raised it. Charred back. Charred back to youth. 68 years of age and jarred back to youth.
Amen.
See William Branham laying in his coffin. God, how disfigured the man was from what he was. And see him come back with his curly hair.
Amen.
Slim, trim body. Sharp features. Eyes of a young eagle. And feel that surge. Samson never felt it. Nobody but Christ in his own can feel it. The resurrection power.
Amen.
Yeah.
Praise the
Lord. Yeah, it comes from this revelation. Do you hear me?
Amen.
Do you understand? Oh, I'm wicked at this point because I tell you, no one will hold me back from this. God, kill me.
telling you this truth and pounding it and pounding it is this revelation, Lord, that it is Christ in this word. The same God changed his mask. For this hour. Hallelujah. What time we split the rafters. And let him know that we love him. When he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand. Set him at his right hand. Authority, far above all principality and power and might and dominion. Every name that is named. That's right in the throne, my brother, my sister. Not only in this world we're going to own it, but we're going to have that one too. When will it cease? Never! The river of life is God's own life. Never runs dry. Put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things, the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all things. That's God himself moving through the Son into the bride. And we're one. I and my Father are one. Yeah, I got the nerve to say it.
Amen.
Amen.
Years ago, I couldn't. In myself, I still can't. But this is a different story. Now, you get the connecting link. Why I read this. In the beginning, God. That's all. Just God. Then, he begins to express himself by a substantial creation, or creation of substance around himself, envelops him. And from that time, of that creation, all else flows from it. Then has to flow back to it. So all else that flowed is chapter 1 of Ephesians. The whole drama. And we know the drama is God revealing himself because it says here. Well, doesn't it? Well, does it? Then we better know the revelation. We better know this one. Because in the first century, there was another Jesus, another Spirit, and another Word. Hell overflows. But not the King. We better know it. Don't fool with me. Not that I'm anybody. But I'm like a man possessed when I speak of these things because it's real. You say, hey, Bill, I look at you. Take a good look. So I take my clothes off. You see everything about me? They did it to Jesus. What did they see? Nothing. The vulgar looked at him and said, ha! What did they see? Nothing. Masked.
Amen.
He that heareth my words and believeth on him is everlasting life. They looked at him. Nothing that they could love him. Nothing to behold him. Don't get fooled.
Amen.
Revelation. How does he do it? Mask. How does he do it? Getting involved with us. Huh? Prophet. That is what God is all about in the eternity of what God is all about. Philadelphia lawyer? No. I repeat. And this is what I've been saying. Is what God is all about in the eternity of what God is all about. And that is simply put as God and mankind. God and his sons. The eternal drama. God. Preeminent among sons who know him. Part of the revelation. The eternal drama with God preeminent. So every role that is necessary in the respect of the carrying out of his purpose through the ages demands the involvement of God in a relationship to man. As man is in his attributes and the influence from those attributes. And I lost you because I lost myself. I have got to go over this. Look, I write this under inspiration. Hopefully it's inspiration of God. I can't prove anything. But I write this. So every role
that is necessary in the respect of the carrying out of his purpose, which I read to you in Ephesians. The changing of the mask, everything God is doing. Through the ages demands the involvement of God in a relationship to man. Now listen, not a rebuilt man. Not a worked over man. Man. As man is in his attributes and the influence from those attributes, God justifies the ungodly. Not those that have all dressed up and made themselves pretty and got their robes of righteousness. He deals with bums like you and me. But the beggars on the dung heap that smell like the dung. And to the rest of the world, we're so thoroughly identified with the dung, the unscouring earth, they can't tell us from the dung. As Brother Branham said, Elohim born over a manure pile. I wish I could find just where he said those are the most beautiful words I've ever read in my life. There's nothing in Scripture any more wonderful and holy. And he ends up by saying, and some of you are so proud, that if you held your nose up and a rainstorm came, you'd drown to death. Elohim is a baby. Elohim born in a manger over a manure pile. Elohim crying. God involves himself with man as man is according to the attributes within him. And God looked down and he said, here's what you are from where I stand aloft, beheld the heights of Sinai, up here in the pillar of fire. And he said, I look down and I say, look, thou shalt not commit adultery. You say, now hold it. He said, you're perfectly capable. That's why you become adulterers. You are adulterers. Thou shalt not lie. Because you're perfectly capable, because intrinsically by your attributes you are liars. I'm talking about all of us. And God involves himself with man is, how man is, according to the attributes that lie in man. So when man needs a redeemer, he is the redeemer. When man needs a change in his body, God will be the great changer. When man needs to be taken up, God will take him up. He misses nothing. And since all this came originally from God, and in the plan and purpose of God, there is never a miscasting of a role or purpose, never a failure, never a descent or going down, but an all in all an onward march to the very ultimate of God himself. The perfect model is the eternal city, the pyramid. And it starts and it goes to where God is at the top. You say, well, just a minute now. Have we got an evolution? Don't be silly. The goodies come from the top. Everything that God is trickles down to every layer. So you are complete in him and lack nothing. Now listen carefully to get your connections and the reason in Scripture to see why he is in the role of a judge in the church at this time. So follow me carefully. God being a judge in himself. God can't change, so he always was a judge. God being a judge in himself by reason of his own innate attributes, he must create and have from that creation those and that which can be judged by reason that they are so made as to require judging. How else could it be? If God's a judge and he's going to involve himself with us and he's got to involve himself as a judge, then you and I must have within us those things that require a judging. You say, that's going to make me feel bad. Hogwash. Why should it make you feel bad? That shows you say God's not to be trusted. God made a boo-boo. I'm smarter than he is. I'm nicer than he is. Oh, beautiful. Kind old priest, my foot. Listen. He must create. Let's go see here. God being a judge in himself, by reason of his own innate attributes, because he can't be anything else than what he is. Even God can't.
Because
I will suddenly make myself not, I'm tired of being a deliverer. I shall no longer deliver, I shall destroy. Hogwash! God can't do it! Do you understand that? He can't change. That's why you and I can't get lost if we're born again. We got some flim-flam floppy God that recreates himself every now and then through some whim. Oh, this and that's a fairy story. A puss in boots. You people got a God as stupid as puss in boots. There's a wicked old ogre lived down in the big mill. And this puss had a nice pair of boots and she was a lovely cat. And the ogre was destroying people and everything else. And so puss goes down to the mill and she said to the ogre, she said, now hold it, before you attack me, she said. I want to ask you, I want to say this, I think you're the greatest. He said, well, I am. And she said, furthermore, I heard and believe that you can do everything. He said, possibly I can. But she said, you're such a huge thing. What's that got to do? Well, she said, you couldn't possibly get down the size of most. He said, sure. He became a mouse. She grabbed him and killed the ogre. Fairy tale. Is this God? He makes himself a mouse? And the devil eats him? We get on his nerves? Because we overdo redemption? I thought he saved another mouse. God's tired of us. No, we're tired of ourselves. And we're not God.
Amen.
He never slumbers or sleeps. The watch is Israel. Puss in Boots does not belong in the Bible. And the Bible does not belong in Puss in Boots. That's real paganism we got into. Paganism, the real paganism, is not a little bit of Catholicism. Real paganism is denying the Christ the attributes that are his and substituting others. God being a judge in himself by reason of his own innate attributes, he must create and have from that creation those and that which can be judged by reason that they are so made as to require judgment. God being a judge are necessary. He make a creation require judging. To what form? For the good of it. For the good of it. Now at this point you and I might not see it, might not know it. Forget it, you will. Make no mistake about it. God himself is a judge. Actually, he is the judge. This is a title of Jehovah in a role. This is the title of Jehovah in the drama. His role in the drama of life. Psalm 50 and 6. The heavens shall declare his righteousness, for God is judge himself. God is judge. Psalm 75 and 7. But God is the judge.
What else have I got? Let me see. Sometimes I can't read my own writing. Don't let that bother you. I got some more written down besides.
Okay. Romans 3 and 6. How then shall God judge the world? 2 Timothy, hopefully, 4 and 8. Henceforth there is a crown laid up, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but all them that love his epiphania, his shining light. Hebrews 4, 12, 13, for the word of God is quick and powerful. That's the Logos. Sharpening any two-edged sword, piercing, even dividing asunder soul and spirit, even joint and marrow, even discerning the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature not manifest in his sight. Discern means to judge between. Now the word judge as a verb will give the definition to judge as a noun. Judge in the Hebrew is to balance out. That is why justice is portrayed as a woman with scales in her hand. The balancing out. In the Greek, it means distinguish, to decide. Judging is the act of weighing the evidence and then making a decision according to the standard that gave the act of judging any merit or basis or foundation or reason whereby the act of judging could proceed.
Repeat. Judging is the act of weighing the evidence and then making a decision according to the standard. Because there has to be a standard. There has to be something that gave the act of judging any merit or basis or foundation or reason for that decision. You understand? To balance out anything, there has to be a fulcrum somewhere so you can bring it together. How can there be a case if there is no validity for a case or a reason to be a case? You go to the judge and you say, I'm going to enter a lawsuit. And the judge says, you lawyers better come behind the doors of my chamber because I'm not so sure I'm going to listen to you. And he's got to decide if there is a case. Right? That's right. I know the law. All right. There has got to be something. As some kind of a standard. Something must be there. Or there isn't any judgment. How do you judge if there is no standard? You don't. How can you praise if there is no rule of merit? Sure. How can you condemn if there is no law that prohibits? How, therefore, how can there therefore be a judge or a judgment whatsoever? Unless there be first a certain knowledge that not only makes the act of judging possible, but mandatory. And the judge has to be knowledgeable in that certain realm, not only as to what the letter says, but what the spirit behind the letter is. All right. Differentiation has to have a root. The surface is not the root. Judging is like discerning, to judge between. Differentiation. There is a difference, or there could not be judging. If all things were the same, there'd be no judging. There has to be a standard. So therefore, differentiation has to have a root. Differentiation is the tree or the leaves or the manifestation above the root. Now you're going to follow me by read this to you. Matthew, the 7th chapter. And of course you're on your toes because I'm going to read verse 15. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Every single thing on the outside looks commendable. Every single thing looks wonderful. How can you judge? You do not judge by appearances, but you judge by what lies below that God says you judge by. Listen, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. Now that's it. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Corrupt tree cannot bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast in the fire. Why did they cut down that good tree? In order to bring back the good fruit of God. Wherefore, by their fruits you know them. Not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, and the King of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father. Now it comes down to words. Men speaking. The judge turned around and he said to this person, well, he said, that looks wonderful. I don't care what the law says. It looks wonderful, so we'll let you go free. They still do it. That's why Brother Branham had to turn on capital punishment. Never does a rich man's son ever pay the price. Just the poor man. Now, Brother Branham was not the Word of God, against the Word of God. He was against the administrators of the Word of God. Because, listen, you've got to be one with that Word
before you can ever even say a thing. Now, here's these false prophets. They are there with every manifestation of grace and goodness. They look 100% right, but what the criteria was not the manifestation. It was the Word. So we see our standard. Thus we read in Isaiah 33:22-8. Just need the first part. Isaiah 33. For the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver. What made him the judge? Because he is the Word. Hey? That's Hebrews 4:12-13 again, which brings us to Deuteronomy 18:15-19. The Lord thy God will raise up a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him you shall hearken, according to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire anymore, lest I die. The Lord spake to me, saying, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet among your brethren, like unto thee. I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, that he shall speak, not his own words, my words. Amen. I'll require it. What makes a man a judge? The Word. That makes us remember also Exodus 18. Verses 13-27. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses sat to judge the people. The people stood by Moses from morning to evening. Moses' father-in-law, that's Jethro, saw all that he did to the people. He said, what is this thing that you do to the people? Why do you sit by yourself alone and all the people stand by thee from morn till night? Too long a day for you and the people. Moses said, because the people come unto me to inquire of God. When they have a matter, they come unto me, and I judge between one another, and I do make them to know the statutes of God and his laws. Moses' father-in-law said unto him, that thou doest is not good. You're going to wear yourself out, you and the people that's with you. The thing is too heavy. You can't do it alone. Listen to my voice. I'll give you counsel, and God will be with you. Be thou for the people to Godward, that you may bring the causes unto God. And you'll teach them ordinances and laws, and show them the way wherein they must walk, and the work they must do. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetous, and place them over them to be rulers of thousands, and of hundreds, and rulers of fifties and tens. Let them judge the people at all seasons, and it shall be that in every great matter they shall bring unto thee, but every small matter they're judged, it'll be easier for you, and they'll bear the burden. And if you do this thing, and God command thee so, he said, now, if it's good advice and God agrees, then you'll be able to endure. And all the people go to their place of peace. Moses is his father-in-law, and he did as he said. And Moses chose able men out of Israel, and made them heads over people, rulers of thousands, of hundreds, or rulers of fifties. And they judged the people in all seasons. Why? And the hard cases they brought to Moses. Now there you are. Okay. That brings us to 1 Corinthians 14:36-40. We all know this one. Quote a lot of that. What came the word of God out from you? Came it unto you only. If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. But if a man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. Forget it. You're finished right there. That brings us now to the place where we have a solid platform for the next message on the same subject. And that verse is over here in Romans 10. And in 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now what am I telling you? I'm telling you this, that no man can be a judge. Christ cannot be the judge until first he's a prophet. The same God has now changed and is now changing. I don't even like the word changing. I'll put it this way, flat. The same God that's prophet is judge. Because of the word. Because Moses being a prophet judged. Samuel being a prophet judged. Even Deborah. A woman. prophetess, judged. The word of God did not come to her except in the cases like what is this and what is that, which is fine. But you'll notice here, he who is the word would of necessity be the prophet and of necessity be the judge, so that nobody could be a judge with any integrity unless he was the prophet to whom the revelation came. Now the verse I just read, you, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God, was said to you specifically for this reason. When we go into the judge next Sunday, we'll raise your faith and change your thinking entirely by the grace of God, yours and mine. From the negative to the positive. From the reducer of immortality to mortality to the builder up of mortality to immortality.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
We have got a God amongst us by false tradition who kills instead of making alive. A God who condemns instead of exonerates. The judge, with his judgment, is solely one of the Word and with the Word. The judge becomes the Word of the revelation. This Word that we have is revealed, and revelation is the life and the dynamics of the Word. Today we have both mechanics and dynamics. Revelation back again, 1:12-18. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, as in Samuel. Being turned, I saw 7 golden candlesticks. 7 church ages. 7 churches. In the midst was this sun, giving life, giving light. And this is the day of the Lord, which is the period we're into now, which precedes the tribulation. Because this is literally Luke 17 and Matthew 24. Both the presence and the revealing. Christ, veiled in the Word, is the prophet, is the judge. And he's here at this hour. He's the same one that came down in Revelation 10 and 1. There's no difference. His garment down to the foot. Girt about the breast with a golden girdle. Head, hair like white as wool, white as snow. That's the wig. Framed in by the angels that Brother Branham showed in the picture. Feet like unto fine brass if they burn in the furnace. His voice is the sound of many waters. Had in his right hand 7 stars on his mouth and a sharp two-edged sword. His countenance was the sun shines in strength. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. That's right. Except for grace, as he said, I'll just wipe it all out. Except for Elijah coming. I'm going to do what I said to Moses. I'll wipe them all out and I'll just start the millennium with the ones I've raised. Because when he left the grave, a lot of people left with him. God can't do that. There's no way he can do it. What do? He makes a remedy. If the gorge is too deep and too wide, he builds a bridge. And if that doesn't work, he does better. He lets down a rope and we just go up. Chariots of fire. Oh, listen, there's nothing wrong with God. There's nothing wrong with us. Not anymore. Not anymore. All right. So that one in Revelation 1:12-18. Hopefully, believingly, will be illuminated to us in the next message to lift our faith, spiraling us into the rapture. Because we are looking at the truth of God's Word for the first time in the light of a resurrection and rapture. They couldn't do it back in the church age. Number one, we can only do it today. Every
error has been eliminated. Every discrepancy left out has been brought out. There's nothing left but going home.
That's right.
That's what we say. See, why? Because he's here. Now, do you know why he's here? He's the judge, but we haven't told you about that yet. That's for next Sunday. And I've laid the basis. Now, never forget what I told you. I bridged every point. Every point. I've left nothing up. By the grace of God, I believe I have done the job that God himself wanted done in this message today to lay this foundation for you. Now, let me tell you something. You're on your own. You're on your own in this respect. You're off of my hands. I've delivered this word to you. It's delivered by the prophet. I read it. I showed you the word. He is that judge. Because he is that prophet. As it says, God will judge the world by one Christ Jesus. Would he judge him by the Catholic Church? Would he judge him by the Protestant churches? No. He'll judge him by him who is the Word. And it's got to be that way because he must be revealed in terms whereby the standard is obvious and proven. See? That's why we don't have a false Jesus, a false spirit, or a false word. Virgins. Make you feel good, doesn't it? You don't have to worry about here not being able to breathe anymore. Just start getting ready to breathe the heavenly, the most heavenly of the heavenly breezes. Right now, you're just sitting in a heavenly place in Revelation. But one of these days, you're going to be changed and sitting in the heavenly places in the immortality of the great God. And to know that the one who changed his mask is that same one who stands right here today in the form of a prophet, a judge. Right? You understand what I'm saying? Okay, foundation actually. Let's rise for a few minutes. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we're so grateful that you've given us the help that we had need of for this hour. And we are happy not within ourselves, but because we believe that this is the word of the hour taught by the prophet, and this is the elucidation thereof, as he said, to break it down and feed the people. That this is that, what we are to have at this hour, which is seeing you in that mask and revealing yourself as that great prophet, that great judge. Oh, how wonderful to know that we have that today.
Thank you.
Lord, we just pray your people's minds will be enlivened as they've never been enlivened before. I know that's the way it's going to be anyway. Because we're not preaching dead manna. We're not preaching something left over or hashed over. We're preaching the truth of the hour, the living word of God, which is enlivened by God himself. And Lord, we therefore have no trouble. We just give thee thanks, O Lord. And our only trouble is in ourselves. O God. If you got to do, well, Lord, look, we're not going to tell you anything. We just know, Lord, that in the right way, in the right time, you will rustle those eagle wings over us with that screen to make us pay attention and fall right in line. We're not going to fuss anymore about anything, Lord. We're just saying thank you, Lord, that everything is working exactly right. And you know how to take care of us. You've been in business for many thousands of years doing it. And I know, Lord, that your very, very person is involved in this very thing. Let God be true. And you are true. And we give thee praise and honor in and through the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior, that risen Christ. Even in his name, amen. The Lord bless you.